hearts. I pray especially for the family, Jerry and his family, Faith's sisters, that you would give them the special comfort they need and strength they need right now. And Lord, that all of us would learn from her life of faith, from her walk with you. That we too, Jesus, would walk a little more closely with you, know you a little better, and be encouraged even as we reflect over her life. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of hard times, and yet to see her faithfulness and her personal love for you, just an incredible testimony. So bless us right now, I pray, Jesus. Just walk in our midst, walk in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I thank you again for coming, I know some are standing, and we want this to be a really special tribute, so change positions, do what you got to do to make yourself comfortable, but we really want to honor Faye at this time, and we're going to do that partly through music. If you knew Faye, you know she loved music. That was one of her many talents, one of her many gifts was music, and so we're going to do that shortly, but I want to mention before we sing our first piece, Because He Lives, that a verse that Jerry shared with me, we were together earlier, was Faye lived by, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, we sometimes think of the word as things as just the material blessings which God has given this family, material blessings. But as I look around our overcrowded chapel, this is the fruit, Jerry. This is the fruit of your lives, and it's a beautiful testimony. So I'd ask the other musicians to come up and join me, and you're a little cozy anyway, might as well stand.
Because He Lives. Go ahead, Linda.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love. He lived for them. He lived and died to buy my assurance, this child's been faithful.
you say hallelujah? Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
Okay.
You can be seated.
Lost Tim in the traffic. Tim Connolly, there he is. Tim, come on up. Tim's going to share a piece, friend of the family, and a fellow worshiper. So, Tim, come up and share with us.
So as you listen to him sing, this is what my mom was listening to.
They get it on, so you go.
Thank you. I enjoyed many, many times singing with Sister Faye. We sang together many times, and matter of fact, about a year ago, Pastor, she came up in a wheelchair and stood beside me and harmonized, and she was a sweet lady. She was dear to me, and I'm sure she's in the precious arms of our Savior in the haven of rest. I don't know how to run that thing either, guys, so. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, in faith taking hold of his word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. Sing with me. Oh, I've anchored my soul in a haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Oh, the tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all may recline like John the beloved, so blessed. On Jesus' strong arm, where no tempest can harm. Secure in the haven of rest. Well, I've anchored my soul in a haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Oh, the tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Yes, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Oh, the tempest may sweep o'er the wild, wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. In Jesus I'm saved evermore.
Safe evermore, huh? Amen. That is what it's all about, isn't it? To have that assurance. Faye was born March 3rd, 1935, right across the river in Lisbon Falls, the eldest of seven children, born to Nathan Miller and Florence. And Florence was a Parker, so Faye was my first cousin, because my dad and her mom are brother and sister, but we're almost sort of generationally separated, because I'm closer in age to David, to Sylvia. Anyway, you'll figure that out as you go along if you don't know the family. And between Faye and her youngest sister, Joanna, there is 25 years, right? 25 years difference, so it's a big family. And they're a fun family. If you didn't have a chance to be around this family growing up, they're a fun family. A lot of fun. Aunt Florence was a lot of fun. The Millers, though, when Faye was growing up, moved a lot. My notes have this in great big capital letters. They moved a lot. I forgot how many times I've heard told. 37 times or something? More than most of us. A couple hymns talk about being pilgrims and strangers, and my Uncle Nathan took that literally, so he kept moving. But anyway, when you move around a lot, that affects you as a young person growing up, because most of us tend to be people that want roots and those kind of things. But they moved around, but I would say, and the other Miller children could correct me this, they made a lot of friends in all their moves growing up, and some of those became lifelong friends. But they ended up back, they were back and forth out of Maine a number of times. But they were back in Maine. Faye went to Brunswick High School, graduated in the class of 1953. She played basketball there. Wasn't fun seeing the pictures of her growing up. I mean, that was some really beautiful pictures. I'm glad you have those. She went for a year and a half, something like that, to Chestnut Hill Bible School outside of Manchester, New Hampshire. She met Jerry Hobart, actually, and I'm going to read part of his tribute here. In the nursery at this church. They weren't on duty, they were kids in the nursery, okay? This is in Jerry's own words. I first met Faye in the nursery at what is now Shiloh Chapel. The nursery was then part of what was known as the extension. There's been a couple years since this happened. In just a few years, the Miller family moved to New Hampshire, then on various stages and eventually to Washington State, hopefully to help in building a church. Whatever reason, they soon came back across country in a 1928 Dodge. Those of us that have any leaning towards mechanical things will love this next phrase, where he wrote, which used more oil than gas crossing the country, and eventually arrived in Maine, I think about 1947 or 48, or it could have been 46 or earlier. And again, most is in Jerry's words. As young folk, we were not to communicate with the opposite sex, and mostly I did what I was told so as not to incur the wrath of my elders. Parentheses. They probably remembered what they were like as young folks. End of parentheses. Well, I would see this beautiful young teenager at church, and I knew I wanted to know her better. We did find ways to communicate in spite of all the rules. Time passed, and they were married here at Shiloh, May 29th, 1955. As you saw quickly, I'm going to leave Jerry's notes for a minute. Saw the pictures of some of her artwork and her drawings. And Faye was an amazingly talented lady. And there's one of her paintings over here. You guys left to see it when you come out. And there'll be more out in the fellowship hall for you to look at, just to give you a sample of just some of her skills. But this is back in Jerry's words. Faye remained a faithful wife, mother, and homemaker for 57 years. There were times she would work outside the house in order to help us financially, but for the most part, she was at home to care for our growing family, which we both deemed to be our top priority. Faye had learned how to cook extremely well and could make a meal from things that I have known others to discard, and her meals were always delicious. She sewed, making clothes for our children. Geraldine was the envy of other girls at school with their dresses Mama had made, and I think you saw some of the design sketches, right? Yeah, those are some of her design sketches. Really beautiful. Faye loved to paint pictures and display and sold her artwork all through this part of the state. She also learned flower arranging, could have worked in a well-known florist shop, but turned them down in order to spend more time with our children. She loved to do ceramic work. She made a rabbit, put it outside by the corner of our home. The rabbit looked real enough that our neighbor went to get his shotgun to protect his garden. Faye decorated and sold many wedding cakes. She often helped a mother of the bride to plan the new bride and groom's wedding meal, then got things set up and ready while the wedding was in progress and served the guests. Faye had an uncanny ability to detect the different spices in a restaurant meal and then go home and make the same thing. Pretty cool, huh? If you know the family at all, while Jerry was highlighting some of her artistic skills and crafts, mentioned Faye was a very musical person. She had a lovely voice. She could play piano. She could play organ. Very talented, and used that talent in many churches for the glory of God. But there were also pains and difficult times in this family's life. As many of you know, they lost a child, Scott. Then just a few years ago, lost an adult son, Wayne. And those events tend to mark a person as much as any event in a person's life can. And any of you that have walked through that very difficult road can understand that. If you haven't, by the way, don't tell someone who has that you understand, because you don't. Until you've walked down that road, we don't understand. But they have, and yet, through these storms, and they were storms, God helped them. God was with them. I think of the name Jesus was called when he came to earth, which is Emmanuel, God with us. And Faye and Jerry knew what it meant, and still Jerry still knows what it meant, and Faye in his presence, what it means to have God with us. She dedicated her life at an early age to knowing and following Jesus Christ, and Faye's life became, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Her life became one of a positive impact for so many, of being light and salt. She taught kids, kindergarten, younger kids, especially at several Christian schools in the area. Here's, I call this one of my Faye trivia questions. Did you know she was a Mrs. Maine? A Mrs. Maine back in the early 60s. She taught art at Lisbon Falls Christian Academy. She was president of the Christian Women's Club of the Tops in Brunswick, this region around here. In other words, as you see, she loved people, and then as she loved people and ministered to them, she was ministering her greatest love, her love for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to sing together another congregational song. So again, if the musicians would come up and you'd stand with us, one of her favorite pieces, and I wish we had a tape of her singing it, In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is Moses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. Speaks and the sound of
hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. The voice of no, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
You may be seated. Thank you. I want to share a couple tributes that have been passed on to me by the family. And the first is a note written by Faye's daughter-in-law, Holly. Beautiful note. Beautiful card, by the way. I thought now would be a terrific time to tell you both that in the 24 years you have raised me, I couldn't ask for better parents. You have both been understanding and patient. I've turned out okay. Even when pointing out things I may not want to hear, you do it with love. I am honored and proud to consider both of you my parents. Thank you very much. With deep appreciation and love, Holly. It's beautiful. On a different note, this is an illegal entry. What I have here is a printout of emails between Geraldine and her husband. And but they've asked me to read this, right? Oh, Troy's going, he doesn't know. Too bad. Snooze, you lose. Anyway, Troy starts. As I think back over my mother-in-law's life, she passed away yesterday, I think of homemade baked beans on Sunday. I think of her encouraging words in my teaching. But one incident comes to mind, and that was about 30 years ago. She approached me during high school at Lisbon Falls Christian Academy. And there's some of the faculty and staff here, so they probably shouldn't listen to this part. But anyway, to encourage me to call her daughter and ask her daughter to go to the Valentine's banquet. Just a subtle mom-type hint to encourage a young man to have the courage to date her daughter. Now, this is Lynn's comments. What Troy does not say is that at this point, he was a little stubborn and did not take me to the banquet. Hey, I was asked to read this. You know, I don't go looking for this. But a few months later, we did start dating again. By the way, I had no idea that what my mom was doing at this time. Troy only told me this after we caught each other. Okay, back to Troy's account. I was going to keep it simple and sweet, but what my wife does not remember, apparently, is that I could not take her to the Valentine's banquet as I was going to Liberty College for a weekend. Actually, I remember because after her mom's comment of, quote, I know a young lady who would love an invite to the banquet, or something to that effect, I was actually quite depressed at a missed opportunity. However, she is right about being stubborn,
though as I did not respond right off, because after I got back, I had developed cold feet again. Parentheses, it also took a younger brother to say, as only a younger brother can say, "Will you please date my sister? She's driving me nuts." Wait, there's more. For those who know the Hobart family, does that sound like anyone you know? Nah. Oh, that's precious. That's good. There's a couple other ones in here, too, I want to share. This is from their friend, the family friend, Allison. But Allison had a very close relationship with Faye and Jerry. And this is what she wrote back 3 or 4 weeks ago. "My dearest friend is in the nursing home and is considered on hospice. I have to say it's hard to let go and say goodbye. She has been a true, faithful, caring, and most of all, a faithful servant of Christ. There is only joy that goes before her, but such sadness in my heart. I am so blessed to have her in my life, not just as a friend, but a spiritual mom, someone that taught me much, prayed for me often, and loved me unconditionally. May our Lord hold her tightly through this valley of death, not to fear, but to trust his guidance. I love you, Faye, with the deepest parts of my heart. Amen." And this is from Faye's granddaughter, Alexis. She quotes first 1 Corinthians 15, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting?" And then I'm leaving the scripture here. This is Alexis' own words. "Due to the circumstances of the past 2 months, I've been thinking a lot about death. If I'm being totally transparent, I've grown bitter and hateful towards just the mention of death. I've grown tired of its cold fingers that seem to creep up from the shadows and grab a hold of my life. It's felt as though I would never be free of its icy grip. However, after my grandmother's passing this morning, I pictured her as she must be now. She's with so many loved ones, and most importantly, her Savior, whom she so passionately devoted her life to. She is free of her pain-ridden body, able to paint and laugh again." I wish we had an audio of her laughter. I love Faye's laughter. "I can't help but rejoice in that thought. So I ask you again, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? I am a child of the King, the one who conquered death. You have no power here." And he had no power. Where is Lexi? Over your grandma. He has no power of all those who follow Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Tim, you have another song for us? If you come up, please. What a day, what a glorious day.
There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that'll be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I'll be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Come on.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I've got a longing, I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrow, no woe. There's nothing can hold me in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven, and I'm longing to go. Come on, folks. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Again, thank you, Tim. We have a couple prepared testimonies, which we're going to hear now. Natalie, want to come up here? You want to pass? Okay. Yeah, so they can hear you better.
Okay. I'm number 6 of 7. Faye, Danny, Norman, Gwen, Sylvia, Natalie, and Joanna. And when I was growing up, and I learned how this works since I've become a mom, I used to think that my first name was Faye, because when my mother called me, she always said, "Faye, Danny, Norman, Sylvia, Gwen, Natalie, will you come here?" Did she ever do that to you guys? And it's hard for me to, I have to think, let's see, Faye, then it's Danny, then it's Norman, then it's Gwen. My mother rattled them all off, and all I heard was Faye, and then it got, "Natalie, come here." I love my sister Faye very much. And number 6 of 7, like Ronnie talked about, you know about the huge age difference in our family, so that David and I are kind of like about the same age, and we grew up together, and David and Wayne and Lynn and Greg were my friends, and Faye was a wonderful sister to me, but she was also a great mom, and you heard that from a lot of people today. She was a mom, she was a sister, and she was a friend to me all of my life. And I remember in high school, when I was doing something that I shouldn't have been doing, which I know those of you guys that know me know I would never do, but I was probably skipping school or something. Can you believe that? But anyway, I went over to my sister Faye's because I knew I was going to get in trouble because somehow Nathan and Florence found out about it or whatever. So I went over to Faye's, and this is when she gets to be a really cool sister because she just covered for me. So she also gave me some pretty sharp words because then she turns into a mom, and says, Natalie, you just got to cut it out and stop your foolishness. And I got a lot of that, too, and I love her for that, Jerry. I love her so much. Always when I was growing up, you could take your friends there, you could hang out there, and it was the most relaxed, most warm, loving home that you could ever come in, next to my mom and dad. I was so lucky because I got two homes to grow up in that were just loving and warm, and everybody could come there, and you could bring your friends, and you could count on the best cooking ever. And there was always something smelling good in the house. If it was cookies or bread or a great meal or a big pot of beans, you always got fed really well at Faye and Jerry's house. And I remember that when I was growing up, I just took that for granted. I thought everybody just grew up in a great, loving, warm house like that. And I found out that everybody didn't. And we were just really, really blessed. And when I grew up and had my own children, I found out that it's really hard work. It's really hard work being a mom, and it's really hard work having a wonderful home. And these guys knew how to do it, Faye and Jerry. And our brothers and sisters, our older brothers and sisters, we had some wonderful models for us growing up as younger ones in the family. And now you guys all have it as children and grandchildren, and you're so blessed. You're so blessed. And I'm just thankful for the two gifts that Faye gave me. She gave me a wonderful mentor about what it was to be a mom. I saw it in my own mom, and I saw it in my sister Faye. Two moms. Did you get any luckier than that? Two moms that passed on what it was like to be a real nurturing mom and what it was like to be a woman of faith. And I got both of them. I got those two gifts from my sister Faye, and I just thank her so much for that. And those two things I also learned just don't come very easy. They come at a price. And my sister Faye, she paid the price. And she's there in glory with Jesus today. And I thank God for that. I love you, Jerry. I love you, Faye. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Natalie, very much. Another friend of the family, Pastor Chris Nelson, if you want to come up, he's going to share a tribute too.
Good afternoon. Everyone hear me? Some people way back there. We're filled up today. Well, Jerry, that's, as Pastor said, indicative of Faye's life. Something to be very proud of. The fruit of the Spirit was something that was produced within her, and it was very powerful. I'm unraveling my notes. I just flew in from the West Coast, believe it or not, and I was considered this an honor and a privilege to be asked to come up here and to speak about Faye, especially her faith and her understanding of who Jesus Christ was and how that light of her life was passed on to everyone that she touched. It wasn't just simply by words. It was followed up with actions, and her faith was strong, and it was real, and people knew it when they saw it. They felt it within her. And again, I consider it a privilege to be able to talk about this life of this woman and to be able to glorify God, because that life glorified her Savior. This is a very public memorial, obviously, yet we saw those scenes of those private moments, and I urge everyone to remember those private moments and share with each other those things that are individual to you, that can't be ever taken back or unique to you with your relationship with Faye. It's very, very important. You hold on to those memories, because that light of her life went down deep, and the Spirit of God followed within it. And we thank her for her faithfulness in her life. Titus 2:3 speaks of elder women within the church, mature women, women who are spiritually mature, nurturing younger women in the ways of God. And Faye was a prime example of that. everyone who knew her understood that her life was a testimony of faithfulness and righteousness in Christ Jesus. Not perfection, not without suffering, not without difficult times. I mean, the loss of two children, some would have turned away. But what did she do? She drew closer to God. That was her. That was what she believed, and that's what she did. That's what she exemplified in her life. She took this responsibility very seriously in the nurturing of others. Our testimony today speaks of her in glowing terms, and it very well should. I just appreciate everyone here remembering those things that affected their lives with her. Keep them in your memories, please. We often hear about change in life. Many people will say change is good. All things have to change to continue to advance. You hear these things. People are bored in their lives, or they have things that are going on in their life, and they say, I need a change. I need to be able to see things happen differently within circumstances that are occurring in my life. But some of those changes and some of those things that happen to us are not exactly good. They can be detrimental. There can be much pain and suffering within our lives. And the one thing that changes not is God Almighty. Malachi 3:6 states, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." And that is what Faye focused on in her life. Despite the ups and downs, despite the good times and the bad, that is the thing that kept her anchored upon that rock and kept her going through these difficult times, kept her going through these things that are difficult to endure. She was planted upon that rock firmly. Proverbs 4:25 through 27 states, "Keep your eyes upon what is in front of you, looking straight before you. Keep a watch on your behavior. Let all your ways be rightly ordered. Let there be no turning to the right or to the left, and keep your feet from evil." You know, if you want to walk a straight line, you can't look to the right or to the left. You can't even look a little bit in front of you. You've got to focus on the goal. You've got to focus far ahead and maintain your focus. And that is precisely the life of Faye Hobart and the testimony of her life. Every single one of you saw that and understood. She was not afraid to testify of Jesus Christ. She did not hide that faith, and she did not hide that knowledge of her Savior. And for that, we thank God for his power to work in the lives of men. 1 Corinthians 13:12 states, "For now we see things in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now my knowledge is in part, then it will be complete, even as God's knowledge of me." And that simply says, our life on earth, our mortal life, we see the hope of Christ and we see the destiny that we have in Christ Jesus, but it's blurred. It's difficult to see some of these things in our lives, as it's hard to sometimes to envision heaven and all the glory and all the things. Yet there'll be a time when we'll know it fully, because God knows us fully. That's why he sent his Savior, his Son, to die for us. And Faye walked that walk. She didn't deny him. She turned to him in those difficult and good times. He was the only thing that she could count on that never changed in her life. And that goes for each and every one of us. Every one of our lives has changes within it. Every one of our lives has ups and downs, waves of the sea. As Peter was standing on the water, he took his eyes off Christ when he stepped from the boat and he began to sink. And Christ reached down and lifted him up. He took his eyes off Christ and he lost that ability to stay strong within him. Faye never did that. Faye walked her life, walked her walk, and lived her life with that extreme focus and that understanding that the destiny, the end of the road, the victory that was at hand that we spoke of so often in these testimonies, the victory has been attained and that final race has been run and it's been finished for God's glory, for God's glory. And I appreciate that. Revelation 1:8 states that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. I am the Almighty. There is no other. There is no other name under heaven or earth to be saved other than Jesus Christ. And Faye's life reflected that. Jerry's life reflects that. Their walk was a testimony for all. And that's why this place is filled today. That's why we all understand who she was and what she lived for. And as was stated, there was suffering. There was price to be paid. There were good times and blessings. And there were difficulties. And those things cemented her faith and raised her up at the end so that now she walks in glory with her Savior. And we just thank God for that. Father, I ask that you would just continue to bless this service, Lord God, that your Spirit would descend upon the hearts of everyone here, penetrate their minds, Lord God, open up their hearts to understand that you truly do live, that you are the hope of man. Lord God, you've come to die for us all, and we each, Lord God, could follow you. Oh, Lord, that our faith would be strong, strong like Faye's, Lord, and that we would understand that you alone are the only one that we have hope and faith and promise in, for you are the only thing that changes not. Lord, I remember reading the scripture of when the disciples that were following Jesus early in his ministry, Lord, they followed him. And they were following him more for gain and for fleshly pleasure. And then he started teaching some hard words, some things that were difficult to understand for them. They required a price and a sacrifice to be made. And many of them fell away. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, are you also going to turn from me? And Peter said, no, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You hold the keys to eternal life, and you are God Almighty. Lord, I pray that everyone who thinks about Faye's life from this time on, the first thing that comes into their mind is the fact that she was a servant of Christ, and her mind was set upon you. And Lord, we thank you that she has made that transition. She is with you. She has run the race. She has striven for victory, and she has attained it. A life well lived. She is a good and faithful servant, and her rewards are there, the rewards of God with us, living side by side and in your very presence for all eternity. And we just thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to be able to even do that, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Faye's life has touched so many. Well, you've done well, and I know the oxygen content is changing in this room, so we want to move along, but our purpose has been to honor Faye and honor her Savior. I want to read a scripture before we sing again to close, where Paul speaks of the resurrection, and he writes to the church in Thessalonica, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, that was his metaphor for death, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We do grieve. That's part of the process of dealing with a separation of a loved one. It's called grief. It's actually, it sounds funny, but it's a healthy response to something like this. It's not an unhealthy response. And yet there is a contrast that Paul brings out that many of us have witnessed, where Paul writes, we do not grieve as those who have no hope.
because we have hope. Now, biblical hope is not wishful thinking. Biblical hope isn't, I wish I would win the lottery this week. I haven't bought a ticket, but I still hope I wish it. Or I wish Lois would get me a new BMW for Christmas. That's not going to happen either. I'm probably more likely to win the lottery. That's not biblical hope. That's wishful thinking. That's dreaming. But biblical hope is based on substance. It's based on knowledge. It's based on the tested words of God. It's built on millennia of testimony and experience by those who have chosen to follow God. And most of all, that hope is built on the one who conquered death in the grave, Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I didn't make up those words, wish I had. But Faye sang them many times. They're part of her testimony. They can be part of our testimony. Faye put her faith, her life, in Jesus' hands at a young age. She grew closer and closer to her Jesus through the trials and joys and the struggles and victories of this life. Now that reward has started. She is with her Savior and looking forward to, as Paul went on to write about, that great resurrection day. She has been reunited with loved ones that have gone on before, her sons Scott and Wayne, her brothers Norman and Dan, her folks, and of course many, many others. My question to you is, do you personally share Faye's hope? If you do, then you are finding strength and comfort right at this moment and peace and love right when you will need it. If you don't, you can. If you don't, you can. You can come to her Jesus right now. Jesus will accept you. Jesus will love you. Jesus will forgive you, cleanse you, heal you. He calls you to himself. And I think, and it's not a big stretch of the imagination, that Faye agrees with Jesus and says, come to him right now. We're going to sing two verses of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I'm going to have a prayer, and then we're going to close with two verses of This World Is Not My Home. So if the singers would come up again. This world is not my home. Announcement to make, though, you'll be dismissed from the balcony first, and you'll have a chance to come by. We would ask you to kind of keep it moving right along. There's a lot of us here.
You'll have a chance to meet and greet the family and take some time to talk with them out in the fellowship hall. There's a luncheon provided out there. You'll see more of Faye's things, like her paintings. And they especially would like you to sign a journal. If you have a little memory or a story, you write in the journal, not just the name guest book, but be able to write something down and to share. So please bow with me in prayer. Lord, at this time, we need your comfort and your peace. Faye obviously has touched us, and this room, I think, is just a sampler. This isn't the whole thing, but she's touched so many. She knew your amazing grace, Jesus. And then she lived her life as a channel of that grace. So I pray for her family right now, Lord. You know, in the grief process, what they're dealing with, I pray you will give them the comfort and help that they need. I pray for Joanna and Natalie and Gwen and Sylvia. I'm glad all of her sisters could be here. And just give them your comfort and peace at this time. But for her family, for David and Ginger and Holly and Lynn and Troy and Greg and Karen, and 9 grandkids, 2 great kids, grandkids. You know, each one has to process and deal with the separation that death is at this time. But Lord, I know they are holding on to the hope that is in you, Lord Jesus Christ. We all do that. Lord, we especially lift up to you our brother Jerry. He was such a faithful husband and caregiver to Faye through all kinds of physical needs and trials. Lord, bless him. Pour out your spirit on him. Renew him. Refill him. And let our love, you know, overflow into his heart too for him. I love this brother, Lord. Touch him right now and sustain him in the days and weeks and months to come by your wonderful grace, Lord Jesus. Lord, let all of us grow. I am. I'm challenged by Faye's living faith. May each one of us let your spirit so work in our hearts that that's our testimony too. Our lives are touching other for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name and in his, just giving him all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus, that's due your name for your work in Faye's life. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Wait till you be seated and wait till you're dismissed, please.